Hi, this is Sugandhi Iyer for the Joyful Manifestation Show. Welcome back. I hope you've been happy for the last 2 weeks, and I hope a lot of good things are happening for you. Today, I wanted to talk about Hotel Transylvania 3. It's about Count Dracula. You know who Dracula is, right? The vampire. He's supposed to be frightening and deadly, but he's actually quite cute in this movie, and there were two other parts, part one and part two. I've watched both of them, and so I had to go and watch part three also. So, Hotel Transylvania 3 is something that everybody should watch because, one, it's a kids' movie, and I'm very big for kids' movies. They're a lot of fun. I have nephews, and we watch all these movies, and it's wonderful to sit with them and watch these movies, go to the theater, watch many of the kids' movies that are out there, and Hotel Transylvania 3 was fun. Again, let's not look at the logic of things and was it logical, was it not logical. It was extremely logical so far as I was concerned. We had a good time, and the movie in the end, so you've got Dracula's daughter, Dracula's son-in-law, who Dracula's daughter, who's a vampire, she marries a human. They have a baby. And I think in the last movie, Hotel Transylvania 2, in part two, the big suspense was whether this baby, which is half vampire and half human, was a vampire or not. And I think right in the end, the baby showed itself to be a vampire. It had the powers of a vampire. And obviously, for a family of vampires, they want their grandchild to be strong, correct? Because vampires are supposed to be very strong. They live very long lives. They have fantastic movement abilities. They're very stealthy and they have quick, rapid movements. They can go really fast. They're very strong. I'm not sure if they have self-healing properties. Sometimes they do, sometimes they don't, but they're supposed to be very strong. So vampires certainly want their babies, grandchildren to be fellow vampires and have the powers of a vampire. Well, in this movie, Transylvania 3, Hotel Transylvania 3, Dracula, he finds his love, his true love, after his daughter's, his daughter is from his first wife, and then he finds true love with somebody, and he's zinged with this person. Turns out this person is human. She is the captain of a ship, and she runs a monster cruise for Dracula and all the fellow monsters to come onto this cruise and enjoy themselves and have a really, really good time. Now, what happens is her grandfather or great grandfather, I'm not sure. I think it's her grandfather. I'm really not sure if it's grandfather or great grandfather, has been hunting down or trying to hunt down Dracula for centuries. And he always fails at it. Now, I don't know how he kept himself alive, but he's now part machine. He wants his granddaughter to take revenge and get rid of Count Dracula because he could never get rid of Dracula. However, she ends up falling in love with Dracula. I mean, he's a funny guy. He's got the fangs and all, but he's really not scary and he's actually quite a family guy. He loves his daughter and he loves his grandchild and he's quite funny. So the captain zings. So in vampire terms, if you zing, it's supposed to be special because that's your soulmate. You've zinged. And you're supposed to zing only once in your lifetime, but of course, Count Dracula zings twice. And he meets this wonderful person, and first she's trying to kill him, of course. But then he saves her life, and he keeps saving her life, and then she finally gives in because, hey, how could you resist someone who keeps saving your life? Correct? And then he's got this gorgeous skin, well, for Dracula. She loves his skin because it doesn't age at all. And he looks good. Dracula terms, looks good. So she falls in love with him. And in the end of the movie is when she decides to show him that she loves him because she tries to save him from her grandfather, great-grandfather, whoever that is, who tries to get rid of Dracula. Now, end of the movie, this grandfather, great-grandfather, who's trying to get rid of Dracula and the monsters, plays this terrible music. Now, it's quite an artistic music. It really doesn't sound bad to me, but it's supposed to have these beats that invokes a monster from the depths of the ocean on this cruise. And so the monster starts attacking everybody and breaking up everything. And every time this grandfather, I'm just going to call him grandfather for the sake of making it easy on us. Every time this grandfather would play this music, the monster's eyes would get red and he would start destroying everything. Now, what happens is he ends up smashing quite a bit. And then the son-in-law, Dracula's son-in-law, who's human, is also a DJ. So he starts playing some good music. And I think the first one he plays is Good Vibration. So there's a song like that, right? So he plays this song. And as soon as this song comes out, na, 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 good vibrations. I should have learned the words before I came on, but sorry for that. And now what happens is the monster suddenly starts getting happy and starts dancing and he stops smashing everything. So the logic was the grandfather's playing this negative music, which is making this monster all crazy and hurting people. And son-in-law, Dracula's son-in-law, starts playing good music, and the monster starts to be happy and starts being nice to people. However, of course, the grandfather continues and with his music. He starts his music again, so the monster becomes red-eyed again and starts destroying everything all over again. In response to that, Dracula's son-in-law plays "Don't Worry, Be Happy." So he starts the song. Okay, Dracula is like, don't tell me this is the song you came up with. And son-in-law is saying, well, it has a good message. So monster starts being happy again, and he's, you know, having a good time, and he stops hurting people, and he's just dancing or moving or whatever it is that he's doing. He's happy. The redness from his eyes goes away. Okay, now granddad here, the evil granddad, says, no, I am going to play bad music again. So he starts with this bad music again. Obviously, the monster's eyes become red and he starts destroying everything. Now, Dracula's son-in-law has run out of good music. And he's so confused because he knows he has to come up with a song that's supposed to be better than all other songs, like a really good vibration song. Because what he's trying to do is he's trying to break the negative energy that the evil grandfather was sending with positive energy from his side. Hence the good vibration song and then Don't Worry, Be Happy. So now he's searching amongst all his songs for that because they don't have time because it's right at the end and the monster's with any whack. Right now he can get rid of everybody, right? So then he's searching, he doesn't know which song. And then finally he comes up with one song, Macarena. Okay, that's the song he came up with. I'm not going to try to sing this song, okay? So everybody starts doing the Macarena. The monster starts, you know, being happy again. And now everybody's really happy. And the song Macarena completely wipes out all the negative energy from the evil grandfather. And then, you know, Dracula, Count Dracula, and his family wins. The monster wins. True love wins. And the evil grandfather loses. So there you go. We have Macarena winning over, triumphing over all evil and saving the day. So that's Hotel Transylvania 3 for you. Do go and watch it, okay? I mean, if you haven't seen it, I'm telling you, it's really fun to see in the end. They're like, what song do we play that's going to be the mother of all good songs, that's going to wipe out all the evil and blah, blah, blah. And then they come up with Macarena. It's a really nice movie. But, you know, what is the message of the movie? The message is positive energy always wins over negative energy. And you have all these beats which can create negative energy, and then you use some really positive music which can destroy negative energy and overrule it. So, you know, in life, it looks like negative energy is winning. You know why it looks like negative energy is winning? Many times it does look like that. I mean, look at the world, right? So, the reason it looks like that is because negative energy is fierce. It's strong. It has a punch to it. So it's like punch, punch, punch. Fierce and strong negative energy. Okay? And so negative energy, because it is indicated by fierceness, strength, passion, the wrong kind of passion, anger, and it comes with a velocity, with a force. So what happens is people who are in positive energy sometimes have trouble dealing with negative energy because it's so strong. And people with positive energy generally are sweet-natured, right? They like to talk nicely. They don't want to do things crooked like people with negative energy would do. People with negative energy don't care who they're hurting, what they're doing. They'll just be stomping over everything and everybody, trying to get what they want. They don't care if there are little babies on the way or women and pregnant women. It doesn't matter. I'm just giving an example. But people who are situated in positive energy, they can't do what people situated in negative energy do, right? They have to still watch their P's and Q's. Have good manners as much as possible, of course. It can be very testing and very trying to preserve your good manners under all situations. But that's what people in positive energy try to do. And so they can't do the things that people in negative energy do. They still have to watch their manners, and they still have to flow in an easy, silky, sweet way. And that's why sometimes, almost all the time, positive energy may take a longer time, but it doesn't mean that it's not working. Whereas negative energy tends to penetrate quickly because it's very strong. It's ferocious, correct? So anything which is ferocious and strong will penetrate quickly. Positive energy, even though it takes time, it will win. It will win. You just have to believe in it and not get daunted by the negative energy, because negative energy comes with all these monstrous heads like the snakes and other scary, scary animals that you can think of. So it's got all these monstrous heads, and it can be pretty frightening when you're facing negative energy. But if you can just somehow believe in yourself and believe in the power of your positive manifestation, it will win. I think Hotel Transylvania 3 tries to show this message in a very nice way, in a funny way. Ultimately, Macarena does win, and everybody's happy, and it saves the day for Count Dracula and his family and all the fellow monsters, who are pretty cute in their own ways, of course. So, coming back to good vibrations, why is it necessary to maintain good vibrations? Because the mind can easily get trained to think negatively. It can easily get trained to think negatively. So let's say you're around a negative person for a period of time. What happens is the negative person's thought patterns are going to penetrate the mind, the aura, because there is a kind of a, I call it psychic attacks. I think people know about it, correct? People who are in lower energy and in darker energy, they like to suck energy from people who are having good energy, a good storehouse of energy. So they may get psychically attacked, and there could be a drain of positive energy if a person who is generally positive is surrounded by negative people. This drain happens. It is natural. However, if you can shield yourself in certain ways, I honestly am not a shielding expert. I know there are a lot of people who know how to shield themselves, but I'm not a shielding expert. What I particularly have is a method of not connecting with the vibrations of negative people. And if I feel people are trying to suck my energy or take my energy away from me, I have a way of disconnecting. So what I do is I interact with the person on the level of the intellect only. You can do it too. So let's say there's a negative person, and this negative person is sucking your energy. Now, this negative person connects to all the chakras of the body, the heart, the sex chakra, this. So they are connected to, let's bring in fictitious Jane to help us. They're connected to fictitious Jane, and they're taking her energy. However, if fictitious Jane decides she doesn't want to give her energy and lower her vibrations by absorbing the other person into her, she can disconnect from the heart, and she can disconnect from other areas of her body, like her aura, stop absorbing the other person, and deal with the other person purely from the place of the intellect. Now, when you're dealing from the place of the intellect, what a person is dealing with, what fictitious Jane is now dealing with, is purely on the level of good manners and bad manners. She's not involving her heart chakras. She's not involving her heart. She's not involving the rest of her being into this. But she's dealing with a person based on how the person interacts in a social atmosphere. You know, when we go for a party, we're not connecting to everybody out there, right? We're minding our own space. We're having the food, and we have friendly conversations with people. And these conversations are from the level of the intellect, pure intellect, where there is only these good manners, social etiquette being observed, right? So, hey, are you going to have a drink? Would you like another drink? Do you want the seat? Am I taking your seat? Oh, please excuse me. Do you want me to serve you some more food? Oh, that's a wonderful dress. I like your dress. Your hair looks really good today. So this is the level that people interact in social surroundings. And even at a place where, let's say there's a workplace, and you find somebody is absorbing all this negative, all this positive energy from you, and you're absorbing negativity from the other person, you can switch immediately to a very basic social norms and etiquette, manners. That's it. Deal with it intellectually. Disconnect on all other levels, and you will find that this person is also forced to deal with you in a social atmosphere, intellectually, and you might actually find that now people are more polite because they're not jamming into you and trying to take your energy and manipulate you and make you feel bad about this and that and everything in life, but they're actually forced to go back a few steps and deal with you purely from a social level, where you can just be an acquaintance and you can just be a colleague and you're not absorbing each other's energy and you can do your work and you can maintain your space. I have found that this works especially with people who don't have boundaries. I don't think that everybody should have boundaries all the time. That makes life very, very difficult. Life is supposed to be an open place where you're open with people and you love people, et cetera, et cetera. But then not everybody is projecting the same back. And people who are unhappy, who are going through depression, who are sad, you know, unhappy and sad, depression, people who have stuff going on in their lives might try to push their stuff on you, on fictitious Jane. And it's good if fictitious Jane can take a step back and switch to social niceties. We are going to enter money manifestation now, and we'll take a short break, 2 or 3 minutes, I think, for some good music, and we will come back and talk about work and career. Manifestation regarding work and career and how we can become better money manifestors. So hold on tight. We're coming back soon.
Gold chain, gold dollar champagne. Yeah, my money insane. Yeah, I'm making it rain. But I was just on a plane, buying gear, flying here. This month is my time of year. If I'm in the club, I get 100 stacks. I'm always rolling up, so I get love from that. Then it's not my swag, but I don't want it bad. I was on this, but now I'm on to that. You see, I'm in my closet for a song to rap. Was either in the white, now I'm going bad, man. I got so much money, I should start a bank. So much paper right in front of me, it's hard to think. Pop so many bottles, it's gonna be hard to drink. But I'm still growing up, my family here, and they rolling up, so I'm. The bigger the bill, the harder you fall. Well, I'm throwing mine, cause my money long. The quicker you hit, the faster you go. That's why where I come from, the only thing we know is. The bigger the bill, the harder you fall. Well, I'm throwing mine, cause my money long. The quicker you hit, the faster you go. That's why where I come from, the only thing we know is. Well, girl, you know I'm a star. Used to barrels, but now we buy the bar. Last year they had to ask them, they know who we are. Walk in the building our own. You tell by who I'm on the phone with. Yeah, talk about grown. Too busy jacking my swag. Get the fuck around, get your own. Get your own cars, get your own clothes. Get your own smoke, get your own. You ain't ripping my game, get your own click.
Hi, this is Sugandhi Iyer back on the Joyful Manifestation Show. We're into money manifestation now, work and career. Money manifestation has a lot to do with good vibrations also. Sometimes people put their ideas of money onto us, onto fictitious Jane. So let's say fictitious Jane has someone in her life who has certain ideas about money, saving money, spending money, etc. So these ideas get put on this fictitious Jane. And if she is open to this other person, because this other person has a free entry points into her energy field, basically he can walk into her energy field and walk out of it anytime. So there's no social etiquette thingies going on over here. There is just like this free entrance and this free exit. So this other person, this that fictitious Jane knows, whether it's one person or a few people, they can just enter anytime and exit anytime. And when they enter, they can say whatever they want to say, good stuff. And then they might decide they want to say something bad. And so they'll change their mind and say something bad. So they'll go from good and then they'll go to bad. And what will happen is they'll put their ideas of money and what you should do with your money into you. back to Fictitious Jane. So when this happens, and Fictitious Jane's mind is just like an empty cave. So there's this empty room, and people are walking in and walking out of her mind and putting whatever they want to put inside it. And so now she's left absorbing everything, and she's changing her belief systems rapidly. All her belief systems, sorry, I'm just reaching for my coffee. All her belief systems are changing overnight because somebody else's belief system is superimposing her belief system. And then her belief system has changed. And then someone else's belief system superimposes that. And so on and so forth until Fictitious Jane doesn't know what her original belief system was about money and what she really wanted to do in her life to make money. She won't even know whether she wanted to make money in the first place. She would have forgotten that, hey, you know what? I had a dream. I had a goal. I wanted to make money. I wanted to be so-and-so. I wanted to have so much money in my bank. And now, I don't know what I have. I don't know what to do because I don't even know if my original desire to make money exists or not. Where is this desire? So when someone has free entry into your mind, which is like an empty cave, right? So they have free entry and exit. They come in and they go out. They come in and they go out anytime they want to. They can change your belief systems almost every hour. You know, they come in, they say something, they're gone. Oh, what did he say? What did she say? Oh, okay. All right. Okay. And then without knowing it, your original thoughts have changed about money. You wanted to be a billionaire? Oh, now you don't want to be a billionaire? What happened? It's gone? Somebody changed it. Somebody imposed their belief system. And there are so many people who do that, right? You have all these people, they'll come up to you and they say, well, this guy, he thinks money is more important than love, and this is how he's treating me. And you know, money is not more important than love. Love is what's important. Money doesn't bring happiness. Okay, there you go. So someone has imposed his or her belief system onto you, putting my coffee cup back. So someone's imposed his or her belief system onto you, onto Fictitious Jane. And now Fictitious Jane suddenly finds that her desire for money has reduced. Because suddenly, it doesn't seem all that important because in this world, you know how people say, you don't take money with you to the afterlife. You can't take money with you, right? So everybody's so ready with all of these, what are they, sayings? And so when they spew something, like a saying comes out and they've given this statement, they've made the statement almost like an affirmation, and your mind, Fictitious Jane's mind, is like this empty room that people can walk in and out of. She's absorbed it, and within even a few days, she could have changed her mind so many times, and suddenly money doesn't seem important anymore. The desire for money has been overwritten with saintliness. And you know what I mean by saintliness, a kind of a saintliness that disowns money. I was talking to this person, and I think he's from my country. He's from India, and he liked this girl, and she broke up with him because he wasn't making enough money. And the funny thing is he came from a family of very, very rich people, and he gave all of that up because he suddenly had enlightenment. It came to him that money was not important. Okay, so he got enlightened. First of all, this is not enlightenment, people. It's not enlightenment, okay? Suddenly having this thing that money is not important and, you know, we need to serve the world. That's not enlightenment. That's just something that you feel you need to do for yourself for whatever it is that you're seeking. So he was seeking something, he came up with this, and then he expected this girl who was ambitious to be the same way. And she didn't want to be that way. She wanted to make money, and she wanted a man who was interested in making money, because she's gone through a bad childhood where she didn't have enough money. So money was her goal. Love was also her goal. It's not that she didn't love him, but for him, money was not important. He gave up his family, he gave up his money, and he wanted her to give up all of these things. And so he's busy trying to enlighten her, to make her feel the same way that he feels. And she didn't want to do that. She wanted a life of comfort and luxury, and she did not have the childhood he had where he could easily give it all up. You know about Buddha, right? You've heard of what Buddha did. Buddha was a prince, and there are certain variations in stories, but this is the basic outline. He was a prince, and he grew up really well, and one day he stepped out into the real world and he saw what suffering is, because he was protected in all the comforts and luxuries of his palace. He stepped out into the world and he got shell-shocked. Oh my God, what's this? What's this? And he saw all the suffering. So he decided to give everything up. He went through some change, internal change. He decided to give everything up. He went into some forest and he got enlightened. And he came out and then he started Buddhism. I mean, he started his teachings, which later on, you know, became Buddhism. Buddhism originally comes from the fact that it basically means that Buddha was trying to teach people to follow the middle path, and not to be so attached to things, and to kind of find yourself and to maintain your center. Of course, there's a lot more to his teachings, but what happens is people who get shell-shocked by suffering, and let's say they're doing well in life, and then they decide to give everything up, that's not really enlightenment. Enlightenment doesn't require you to give everything up. Enlightenment is where you know that this whole world is illusion, and in this illusion, I have realized, I mean, not me personally, you think to yourself, I know that I can basically do anything I want to, and I suffer the consequences of my actions or not, but there's nothing to give up because everything is God, everything is the divine. So what is there to give up? What are you trying to prove? So that's where you get to that space where you kind of feel like there's really nothing that, it's not a, like a big, huge change where you give up all the money and then you start walking the path of poverty and now you found some internal peace. Peace is where you are. I mean, whether you have $2,000 in the bank or you have $2 million in the bank, peace is within you, and the money is not the thing that is going to make or break this peace. Of course, you know, having no money can create poverty issues, and having too much money can get the IRS and other people after you. So these are two different things. So you can have physical problems, but your inner peace is not dependent on that. And thinking that when someone says what they have realized in life, what truth they have found and what they have discovered for themselves, not to make it your truth and to see if it fits in with your original goals. What were your original goals? Did you really want to be super stinking rich? Stick to your goals. Don't let somebody else's realization, which could be temporary, you know, the minute they find that they have no money and they're going into lack. I mean, not everybody's Buddha, right? Self-composed and meditative. Not everybody's there. And so the minute they find that they don't have money, they might start seeking money all over again. And meanwhile, they've put their stuff on you, on fictitious Jane. And fictitious Jane's mind has now changed so many degrees. Allowing people to interfere with your thought process, unless it is beneficial and unless it is aligned with your own goals, is a no-no. It's a no-no. It's not right to let someone walk into your mind every time, make a change in there, you know, kind of twist something, turn something, and then walk out again. And they go back to their lives and their, you know, goals and dreams, and they may not give up. They may come back to their original goals and dreams. And here, fictitious Jane is left wondering what happened and why she's not attracting things into her life. It's because her desires are changing all the time. Her desires are not constant. And the universe is confused because it doesn't know which desire to follow. Was it the original one? Is it the changed one? Universe is going to respond to fictitious Jane's vibrations. And if she's giving all of these confused vibrations and she doesn't know who she is in the midst of all of these things, is she going to be a billionaire? Is she going to be a millionaire? Is she going to remain in a $4,000 per month job? Nothing wrong with anything. All situations are okay. And then you have billionaires who are doing really, really well, and then they suddenly, you know, change their course of life and they go into social service and they start doing other things. And then you read stories about these people, but these people have already enjoyed their life. They've enjoyed their money. They're following their path. You need to follow your path. Don't read the stories of all these people who suddenly change and they've realized some, you know, ray of happiness. That's their story. Your happiness may come in other ways. It could be completely connected with money. And who says money cannot make somebody happy? It makes me happy when I'm able to buy what I want to buy. I love it. It makes me happy. I'm happy within, but money also makes me happy when I'm able to buy things for my nephews. Okay, I shower them with toys and I pretty much spoil them rotten. And I like it. My parents like it. My sister likes it. We love to pamper and buy things for people. And it makes us happy. It makes the kids happy. And it's nice to have money. And I personally make sure nobody puts their teachings, what they have learned in life, onto me. I see if it matches what I think about money. And if I want to spend money on a couple of, you know, hotel, fancy hotel suites and go there with, you know, my family and have fun, then I'll do that because it makes me happy to do that. And I follow my own drummer and I don't let anybody into my mind to say what they want to say and shift and change everything. Remember, I come from a country where everybody has different belief systems about money, and you have the materialistic people, you have the very highly spiritual, meditative people, and you've got so many people, and then you've got the Western world, and everybody has their own thoughts and ideas of money. So, having said that, you know, in Hotel Transylvania 3, Count Dracula doesn't seem to have any money issues. He seems to be a successful hotel owner. He has his business. He's making a lot of money. He's able to afford cruises, and he's able to do what he wants to do. And he feels happy because then he's able to do what he wants to do for his family and his daughter and his grandchild. And he's having a good time. And that's what money manifestation is about. It's about making sure that your vibrations about money are loud and clear, and that you want money in your life. I can tell you a personal experience of mine. Let's say I get into a very, very family-oriented mode, right? And I'm spending a lot of time with family, and I'm surrounded with this, and my mind is completely in that. And suddenly, I'll start to forget some of my clients. I really forget. I'm thinking of this so much, I forget that, and I lose touch or connection with those clients. And then when I remember them again, they're back. They're sending me texts and I want to work with you. And this is what happens. You can lose connection with people who are sources of money because your mind is distracted in other things. And then when you go back, your consciousness goes back to focusing on or thinking of sources of money, then these sources of money are reawakened. Okay, they're awakened, reawakened, and they can come back to you. So watch where your mind is. Watch what you're thinking about. It doesn't mean that you have to keep thinking of money all the time. It can make you pretty hyper. I don't do that personally in my life. I have a lot of fun in my life. However, you know, completely defocusing from money and cutting it off as a source and focusing on other things to the extent that your mind is completely involved in everything else and you've forgotten various sources of money is going to block these sources because you're going to lose these connection cords that you have to these sources of money. And if you find that you're doing that, then bring your mind back to money. Bring yourself into some comfortable surroundings that represent money to you. So there are certain triggers that can represent money to you. And for me, I love fancy hotels and suites. I love doing that, okay? Because when I was writing my book and I used to write a lot of articles and et cetera, I would go hole up in a suite somewhere in a fancy hotel and write. So I love this because it connects me back to that place of productivity. And I love to escape and go into these places and just have fun. And it connects me with so many things that remind me of money, that remind me of businesses that are doing really, really well because, you know, grand hotels, etc., they represent success, correct? So these are little triggers that can penetrate your consciousness and remind you of everything that your original goal was all about, and that is being successful in life and attracting more and more money. So we are going to go into soulmate manifestation soon. And what I really want to impress today is keep an eye on your vibrations and what they're beeping out. Are your vibrations confused with a lot of stuff put in by other people's belief systems? Because remember, other people are just like those snakes / shoots. I spoke about the game of life, right? The game where you have these snakes and shoots that bring you down and the ladders that take you up. So they're like the snakes and shoots that are going to bring you down because they're coming into your consciousness, into your awareness to distract you from your original goals so that you don't reach your original goals. And if you're able to identify this, then you'll be able to recognize, okay, this person is trying to shift me from my original goal and is taking me off my path, and I need to get back to the feeling of abundance and luxury, and what is it that I need to do to bring that feeling back again? What is the reality that I want to live in? Again, none of these realities are wrong. None of them are wrong, but they should match you, who you truly are, and what your goals were for yourself. If you find that being, you know, not wanting to attract money is your goal, then fine. There's nothing wrong with that. But however, if it was your goal and you got distracted, then give yourself the surroundings that are going to bring you back. Because when you put yourself in these luxurious surroundings, and again, this is only one method. There are so many other methods that you can use, but there's only one method. Then you're putting yourself back into those businesses which have a big goal of providing luxury to people and attracting a lot of money back to them. So you're connecting with them. You're connecting with the people who stay there. You're connecting with the owners. You're connecting with the management. You're connecting with the style that they have in their decor. And you're connecting with all of these things, and you're allowing it to enter your aura. Remember that silken sheets, you know, whatever it is, these things do have an impact on your aura, because it immediately, it's a very quick fix. It can take you from one reality and put you quickly into another reality, which will bring you back to your original goals. Again, this is just one method, but keep a look out for what your vibrations are beeping out to the universe, because the universe does not want to be confused. Really, the universe doesn't want to think, oh, you don't want that client. Oh, I thought you wanted that client. No, you don't want it. You don't want this person. Oh, I really thought you, oh my God, the universe will get confused. So keep your vibrations clear. We are entering soulmate manifestation now, and we will take a short break, 2 to 3 minutes, to listen to some music. And we are going into love and sex, soulmate manifestation. Hold on tight.
Yeah. Uh-huh. So seductive. I take you to the candy shop. I let you lick the lollipop. Go ahead, girl, don't you stop. Keep going till you hit the spot. Whoa.
I'll take you to the candy shop.
Yeah.
What? I want to taste of what I got.
Uh-huh.
I'll have you spending all you got.
Come on.
Keep going till you hit the spot.
Whoa. You can have it your way. How do you want it? You gon' back that thing up or should I push up on it? Temperature rising, okay, let's go to the next level. Dance floor jam-packed, hot as a tea kettle. I break it down for you now, baby, it's simple. If you be an info, I'll be an info. In the hotel or in the back of the rental. On the beach or in the park, it's whatever you into. Got the magic stick, I'm the love doctor. How your fans teasing you about how sprung I got you. When you show me you can work it, baby, no problem. Get on top, then get to bounce around like a low rider. I'm a seasoned vet when it comes to the shit. After you work up a sweat, you can play with the stick. I'm trying to explain, baby, the best way I can. I'm melting your mouth, girl, not in your hand. I take you to the candy shop. I let you lick the lollipop. Go ahead, girl, don't you stop. Keep going till you hit the spot. Whoa.
I'll take you to the candy shop. I want to taste of what I got. I'll have you spending all you got. Keep going till you hit the spot. Whoa.
Girl, what we do. Just between me and you, yeah. Give it to me, baby. Nice and slow. Climb on top, ride like you're in a rodeo. You ain't never heard it sound like this before. Cause I ain't never put it down like this. Soon as I come through the door, she get to pulling on my zipper. It's like it's a race who could get undressed quicker. Isn't it ironic how erotic it is to watch them thongs? Had me thinking about that ass after I'm gone. I touched the right spot at the right time. Lights on, a light off, she like it from behind. So seductive, cause you see the way she whine. Her hips in slow-mo on the floor when we grind. Long as she ain't stopping, homie, I ain't stopping. Dripping wet with sweat, man, it's on and popping on my champagne campaign. Bottle after bottle, it's on, and we gon' sip to every bubble and every bottle is gone. I take you to the candy shop. I let you lick the lollipop. Go ahead, girl, don't you stop. Keep going till you hit the spot. Whoa.
Hi, this is Sugandhi Iyer, back on the Joyful Manifestation Show. If you're into soulmate manifestation now, love and sex, you know, soulmate manifestation is a very interesting topic. Without soulmate manifestation, a lot of people give up on true love. They give up on that person who dances that dance with them exactly the way they want to dance. You see, not everybody dances in the same vibrations the way that you would like them to dance. When you meet someone special, there is a kind of energy that is created between the two people. And it's not that times are always good, correct? Sometimes there's an up and there's a down. But when times are good, what happens is a lot of these magical moments are created with this person. I have this client and she's been struggling with this gentleman for over 6 years. And she came to me and her focus was on the fact that it's 6 years and over 6 years, but she has not managed to get a commitment from him. Her vibrations have been dulled by the non-committal attitude of this gentleman, the man that she loves. I've been guiding her, and from a place of complete disconnect where they were not talking to each other for a year, we've got them talking and creating magic again. She still has to get her commitment, though, the ring, but she just started talking to this guy after she started working with me, and they have some really magical moments, But her mind, because of being tortured for 6 years of not getting a commitment from him, goes back into thinking he's not going to commit to her and he's just having fun. Interactions with soulmates are like music. It's like music. There is this beautiful harmony, there's this beautiful music that's magic and it's created. And those times when the soulmates come together and they have these moments, the golden moments, and they stand alone by themselves. And a chunk of these golden moments come together and they create a very strong vibration for a future. But if the mind is on the fact that he's not going to commit to me, I doubt that commitment is in his mind. I think he's going to walk away again like he always does. This is going to happen. That is going to happen. It's very difficult to continue to enjoy these magical moments that exist between these soulmates. So if anybody is in the situation of not having a commitment, even after a few months have passed, 6 months and over, 1 year and over, going into 6 years, 7 years, 10 years, try to focus on these golden moments that you have with this person. Try not to go into thinking about the fact that you don't have a ring on your finger yet. I know it's easy for me to say it, and it's hard to do. But unfortunately, this is how you can do it. Otherwise, your mind, fictitious Jane's mind, is going to be weighed down by the act of not having a ring on her finger. Now, she can't even enjoy these moments, these golden moments. And soon these golden moments stop happening because all that there is left is doubt and suspicion and regret and thinking that you're never going to get the ring. And so there's going to be all of these negative vibrations that are going to go out into space and block the gentleman from coming forward. This is what is going to happen. Just having some coffee again. This is what is going to happen. And all of the good stuff is going to go away. All of those golden moments. See, here is what I say. If you're going to meet somebody special who's going to give you that ring quickly and who's going to treat you the way that you want to be treated, you're going to meet the person. You know, unless you've got blocks and you've put out all of these energy, bad energy blocks and all of this thing is going on. But you're going to meet this person anyway. So why stop yourself from enjoying what you already have in your life? Why deprive yourself of the energy of your soulmate? And he could be your true soulmate. It's just that fictitious Jane's vibrations are going up and down from enjoying some good moments with this person to, oh, he's not paying me attention. He doesn't want me and I don't have a ring on my finger. So with this shift of energy between having and not having, having and not having, the soulmate manifestation energy gets disrupted. And it becomes harder and takes a longer time for it to actually happen. You know, we are coming to the end of the show. And I know we spent a lot of time in the beginning part of this show. But if you can use some of the information that we've already spoken about to help you with soulmate manifestation and keep an eye on your vibrations and what you're thinking and whether you're focusing on not having or you're focusing on already having and enjoying, and try to get yourself into a good place with soulmate manifestation, I want to tell you something, and it's a good announcement. The Joyful Manifestation Show is going to be airing, is already airing, and going to continue airing on newer and newer stations on over 100 live digital stations all over the world. It includes iTunes, Spreaker, Radio.com, TuneIn, SoundCloud. These are just some of the names. And then you've got certain social websites like Tumblr, Twitter, Facebook. And we will be airing live, already airing live, on over 100 digital stations all over the world. So yes, we are going to be heard all over the world. And it's exciting because what are we here for? We are here to spread joyful energy. We are here to make sure that people know how to manifest correctly and that they enjoy life from the place of knowing that they can get what they want and not thinking that they cannot get what they want. Again, we're at the end of the show and we're signing off soon. I want to wish you a wonderful 2 weeks. We will be talking in 2 weeks and a wonderful rest of the day. Thank you and talk to you soon. This is Sugandhi Iyer for the Joyful Manifestation Show.